Chapter 17. We have a parable or a riddle in the first part of this chapter, and then in verse 12 we have the answer to the riddle. So God leaves us without any doubt at all of what he's talking about in this chapter. He's talking about a rebellious house and how God was going to take this rebellious house and bring it into Babylonish captivity. So we know without, when we start studying it now, we know what we're talking about. So we'll read from verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak a parable unto the house of Israel. Now the word riddle comes from a Hebrew word of kedah. And the word itself means a puzzle or a riddle. Could even mean a trick. One time in Habakkuk 2, I think it's verse 6, is translated a parable. The same word is. A proverb, I'm sorry, translated a proverb. So this is, I think, probably a riddle is the best rendering of this word here. So he told him to put forth a puzzle or a riddle to Israel. And then he said, speak a parable unto the house of Israel. Now, the word parable comes from a Hebrew word of mashal. And the word there means a mental action. The basis, the root of this word, has a thought of reigning, as a king would reign over something. But the way it's used here, it has a thought of mental reigning, the action of the mind, reigning or having power over something or someone with words. Is a thought that we have there. So this was to be brought forth into the house of Israel, and say, Thus saith the Lord, a great eagle with great wings, long winged, full of feathers, which had different colors, and came to Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar, and chopped off the top of his young twigs, and carried it into a land of traffic, and set it in the city of merchants, and took also the seed of the land, and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters, and set it as a willow tree, and it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine, and brought forth branches, and shot forth sprigs. Then there were also another great eagle, with great wings, with many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him, and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. And it was planted in a good soil of great water, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, and that it be a godly or goodly vine. Say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, Shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof, and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power are many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Yea, behold, being planted, it shall prosper. It shall not utterly wither. When the east wind touches it, it shall wither in a furrow whether it grows. And then he says, he's talking about the rebellious house, Jerusalem. And behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon. So we know then that the first eagle, this great eagle of verse 3, is the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And the great wings, the long wings, speak of the stretching out among many nations, round about. Full of feathers, speak of his subjects in which he was conquered over. Nebuchadnezzar was a great world conqueror. The different colors, that speaks of the nations again, and the banners that they would have over them in which Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler. Now we read that he came to Lebanon. Now Lebanon means whiteness. And this is what Jerusalem should have been in the presence of God, should have been great in holiness. But they weren't. They took the highest branches of the cedar. Now this would be Jehoiachin that was first chosen. Now we might turn over and look at some of these, I guess. And I don't know whether to do it here or do it in the next chapter, because we have the same thing over again in the next chapter. Let's look at 2 Kings 22, I guess, and then we'll refer back to it later on. I'm going to read from verse 28, is the death of Josiah. Now, Josiah was a good king, and we'll glance at this again later on. And 23. The only reason that Josiah died here was the grace of God. It wasn't that he did anything wrong to die. He was a good king. We might notice in 22:20, he says, "Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." And they brought the king word again. So God gathered him unto his fathers. Or it was God's plan that he would die before the evil came upon Jerusalem. And so we see his death in down through verse 30. Then Jehoahaz was the next king to reign, and he reigned 23 years. He was 23 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. He had a short reign. And he did that which is evil, verse 32, in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bands at Reblai in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem. And he put him in the land unto tribune of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And Pharaoh then made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, that would be Jehoahaz's brother, made him king in the room of Josiah, his father. And then he changed his name to Jehoiakim. See, that's where we've been getting this word. His real name is Eliakim, but Pharaoh then changed his name to Jehoiakim and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. And then Jehoiakim was put under tribune to Pharaoh and taxed. And then in verse 36, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that, verse 37, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all of his fathers had done. Now, then we read of Nebuchadnezzar. In those days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years, and he turned and rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we're seeing the same thing now over in our lesson, and we'll go back over and look at it. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldeans and the Syrians and the Moabites and the Ammon against Judah to destroy it. Now notice who did this. God did it, didn't he? He sent these nations down there. And he's going to send them down there again. He's the one that's going to bring these nations against Jerusalem. According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophet. And it was because of the sins of Manasseh. Then in verse 8, well, let's see. Verse 6, Jehoiakim died, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. And now Jehoiachin now was the last one to reign in the will of God. And he was taken into Babylon. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. Reign was very short, and he was taken into Babylon. And the king of Babylon then put Mattaniah his father's brother or his uncle, that's down in verse 17, in his stead as king of Jerusalem, and he changed his name to Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and then he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and he was taken into Babylon, and his eyes was put out after all of his sons were slain. Now, when they rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, they was rebelling against God, because God had told them and told them and told them what he was going to do. And we have similar scriptures too concerning this. In Romans it says, "And the powers that be are ordained of God." And to rebel against the powers, whether we like them or whether we don't like them, is rebelling against God. And so that was their trouble. Now this first eagle, was Nebuchadnezzar. And so the branch, the top of this branch then, would be Jehoiachin, Josiah's son. And he was taken off now and carried away, cropped off the top of the young twig and carried it into a land of traffic and into a city of merchants. And he took the seed, even though there was this rebellion, God still blessed, didn't he? God still blessed. And if they would have went ahead and went into the captivity and been submissive to the word of God, God would have blessed them. And they would have been very happy in Jerusalem under Nebuchadnezzar's governorship. But they wouldn't do this. They rebelled. So it grew, became spread of the vine, a low stature, whose branches turned toward him and the root thereof. Now, this takes us on down to Zedekiah's time. And Zedekiah was Nebuchadnezzar's choice, not God's choice, but Nebuchadnezzar's choice, but yet God still blessed, didn't he? Until Zedekiah rebelled against him. Then in verse 7, this great eagle we have here is Egypt. They saw that they in themselves couldn't defeat Nebuchadnezzar, so they turned to Egypt for help. And there was another great eagle with great wings, many feathers. Now this was south, and Nebuchadnezzar was north, so they turned toward the south for help. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him. See, they went toward him asking for help to defeat Babylon, and shot her branches toward him that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. So they was seeking, instead of seeking help from God, they began to seek help from Egypt, and they couldn't help them. It was planted a good soil with great water. It would bring forth branches that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine, but they would not. Thus saith the Lord, shall it prosper? And the answer is no, it won't prosper. Shall he not pull up the root thereof and cut off the branches thereof that it wither? And it shall wither, and all the leaves of her spring. And so Israel did wither and went down to absolutely nothing. And everything was carried away into Babylon. Now this wouldn't have been done if it had just listened to the word of God. And we have the same thing today. God's people would avail themselves of a lot of heartaches and troubles if they would just listen to the word of God and understand what God is telling us and yield to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, shall the rebellious house know ye, say to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? And they didn't know. They thought that they were doing pretty good. And the reason they didn't know is because they didn't know the word of God. Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof, see, this would be Zedekiah, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon, and hath taken the king's seed, and made a covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty land. This king in verse 12, would be Jehoiachin, and the king in verse 13 would be Zedekiah. Zedekiah was taken into Babylon later on in the story. That the kingdom might be base, and that it might not lift itself up. This is Zedekiah here. He rebelled against him, sending the ambassadors to Egypt, which is the second eagle, you see, that they might give him a horse and much people. And shall he prosper? Shall he escape that doeth these things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? As I live, saith the Lord, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, that hath made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. So the ones that rebelled against the will of God and tried to get Egypt to fight their battles for them, they lost out. Neither shall Pharaoh with his great army and great company make for him in war by casting up mounds and building forts to cut off many persons. See, they won't be able to trust in Egypt. Egypt won't bring their weapons of warfare down there. Seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when, lo, he had given his hand and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised, and my covenant that he hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head. See, he broke by refusing to yield to the king of Babylon. They broke the covenant with God. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him into Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass, and he hath trespassed against me. Now notice, God is doing this. God was going to take him into Babylon. It was God's net. It was God's snare that brought them into Babylon. Well, them just looking at it, it looked like Nebuchadnezzar done it, didn't it? And you know, many times things in God's people's lives today, we look at things as we see them rather than as God sees them. And if we would just see things like what God is doing and working, it would make it much easier if we didn't try to figure it out and go against the will of God rather than with the will of God. We don't try to figure out what God is doing because our natural minds can't understand it. And so anything that would be contrary to this would be out of God's will. We learn to take whatever he brings us and we praise him for it. And if they'd have done this, they would have had an easy time even during the 70 years of captivity. And all his fugitives with all his band shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all the winds, and ye shall know that I am the Lord that spoken it. And so it's God. Now, all these years, God has scattered the nation throughout all the other nations. I don't believe there's a nation in the world that doesn't have Jews in it. And it's God that scattered them all over. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the top of the cedar, and we'll set it, or we're going to cut this top branch off now and start something new with it. We're going to set it. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll crop from the top of his young twigs, the tender ones, and we'll plant it upon the high mountain and bring it close unto him, is a thought that we have there. Now God is going to plant a sprig out of a dry ground, Isaiah tells us, doesn't he? That's what Christ is called. He's called a branch, a plant of God. And the mountain of the height of Israel, I will plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs, and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all the fowls of every wing for protection. You see, under the cedar, which will be the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes and sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And all the cedar of the field shall know that I am the Lord that brought down the high tree. It was too big for God to use. God's going to have a tree he can use, and he's going to bring it down. And have exalted the low tree, and dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. And the Lord has spoken it and done it.